Blog Talk Radio.
You in a rush, bro? What you trying to meet your maker, darling? Oh, you running out of time, huh? The time ain't even real. You really need to chill. It's all an illusion. You get any stuff in the fusion. Whatever it is you try to see, you can sit down and just believe. But I wouldn't ever be the same old day. God help me, oh, I think I'm insane.
Tell me, will you keep Do you guys hear me? Hold on, let me open up my mics. Hello?
We can hear you, Hav. We can hear you.
Oh, I can hear you, bro.
Yeah, no. I'm,
hear you, Havy.
You know, I'm making adjustments. I'm using the wireless instead of the one with the cord. I'm trying to make the jump, seeing if it works. But I was like, I can't hear any music, but I don't know what that's all about. Weird.
We hear the.
All right, that's good. All right, it was weirding me out for a minute. I was like, I don't hear anything. Hello, I was like, strange. Hey, all right, so let me do this. Hey everybody, how you doing? Welcome back to an amazing installment of Epiphany Radio Universe, a For Real Entertainment Network War Council, a conscious egalitarian collective, a panel of staunch, incredibly intelligent individuals that discuss today's issues, relationships, community, change, all of these things happen in this tonight. And we're going to get to it. We're going to throw everything at it. I took it to call it the kitchen sink. We're doing it all. We don't care. It's just too good. There's too many topics. There were too many things in the back channel. I was like, oh, that's good. That's good, too. And everybody's been posting good shit in the group. And I was just like, yeah, man, we ain't going to pick and choose. We just going to throw the kitchen sink at it. So that's what's happening. Now, what I think is going on with my particular phone, I think this phone is too intelligent, and it keeps putting the noise reduction on shit. Because I think it has that function.
I get it. It does build it. Yeah, we'll bring your volume down. Yeah, it does that.
Yeah, because I was like, why is the volume going up and down? What the f*** is going on, right? I was like, what's going on? I was like, it's loud. I was like, yo. And I, you know, sometimes you get a new joint. These things are so intuitive and intelligent that it's like, I'm like, yo, where's my music? Like, what's going on? So I was playing music. And the music kept fluctuating. I was like, "Why is the music fluctuating?" So I was gonna hit Van in the back. And I was like, "Yo, Van, are you messing with the music?" are you in the studio? Anyway, all right. So let me start out now. If you would like to participate in this conversation, please press 1 on your phone now. This is the perfect time to do it. I know we have some guests here this evening that are coming through. Make sure that you press 1. We have some people who are going to be arriving late, and I will try to check my back channel and my bat channel as much as possible so I'm not missing anything. So make sure, if you know, hit me in the regular chat, or hit my line directly if you don't get me. So I'm setting it up now. But we're getting ready to go, and it should be working. All right, so good people. I'm not one to be nosy and ask questions and like that, because it's gonna be weird. How was everybody's love day? Did everybody have a good love day?
I have a good day every day. Yay!
There you go.
But I love me.
You don't have to share. Don't feel pressure to share. No peer pressure. Wait. Matter of fact, let's do the roll call to see who we have here. So starting out first, great state of Florida, the most eloquent one, Brother Wendell, Brother Barry, are you there? Wendell, are you there?
Most definitely. Peace to the family. Good to be here with y'all. What's going on, family?
Peace, hey. Brother. How you feeling?
I'm good. Glad to be with another War Council.
That's what it is. Now we're going to go to our station manager, good brother, friend of light. I'm not going to call him his nickname, but we're just going to call him Mr. Pineapple Calligraphy. Van Meadows. Van Meadows, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm doing great, Mahavi. How about yourself, good brother? Everyone on the panel, hello. Good to be here.
Hey.
Peace, bro.
If I could find out the fucker who's parked in front of my driveway, I'd be all right. But I'm gonna figure this out. I was like, you just gonna park your truck in front of my driveway, like, oh, you know. Okay. I was like, I'm just not home. I don't know. And I know something's up because my neighbor who normally parks in a normal spot is parked in a different spot. So there's some weird shit going on. But that's neither here nor there. I'm just peacing. All right, coming up, my favorite Philly Jones, one of my best friends in the entire world, from the great state of Pennsylvania, from the city of brotherly love, the Philly Jones known as Danielle. Hey, Danielle.
What's up, Javi? Hey, everybody. I hope y'all do have an awesome day yesterday and today and for the days to come, love and light.
Danielle, you know what we talked about earlier. You know I'm going to ask the panel about that.
Right? Oh, God.
I am going to ask the panel.
Y'all be prepared. That's all I got to say.
Be prepared.
Be ready.
All right. And from the great state of Virginia, by way of Maryland, our very own Lisa Lips. Hey, Lisa Lips.
Hey, baby. How are you?
What's happening? What's going on? What's going on? What's the deal? What's happening? What's shaking?
Lips had no Valentine, so I had Galentine's Day. Me and my girlfriends all went out and ate last night.
All right. Well, that's good. Yo, listen. I was asleep. So I had a sleepy Valentine, so I was knocked the fuck out. Anyway, that's the end of that. Going to my other good friend from upstate great, the capital of New York, the bestie, the man about town, 80 billion skills in one. You'll be like, what else do you do? Like, I do this too. What else do you do? I do that too. Oh, okay. Brother Dawood, how are you?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. Exhausted, but ready for this show.
All right. Well, we're going to get it in. We're going to try to make sure everything is happening. I don't know if y'all can hear that background music because it's different. Because this thing is really noise canceling. All right, because I can't hear it. So it's really canceling all the noise for me. Like, it's really, like, I can only hear y'all. I can't hear no music. Weird.
It's soft, but we hear it.
All right, bet. So to start us out, because we were talking about the Valentine's Day and everything else. All right, so I'm just gonna lob a couple warm up questions. I have a guest here, but I forgot which one they was on. Hold on for me. Make sure I got. Check the back channel. Okay, yeah. So I'm going to bring them in. Let's bring them in first. Hold on for a second. Miss Barnhill, are you here?
Hey. Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you just fine.
Oh, see, I don't know how this works. I'm just calling in listening. Hey, how y'all doing?
I'm good. Quite, how you doing?
Good.
What's up? I'm from the state of North Carolina. Hold on. Let me read some stats real quick so they know who they're talking to. All right. Hold on. Representing North Carolina, occupation therapist, author of 3 books, poet, motivational speaker, proud member of Zeta Phi Beta sorority, single mom, conversations, everything, books on Amazon, relationship books, 21 lessons my mother never taught me. I am an alpha woman, very versatile, very positive. Miss Tilanetra, did I say it right?
Yes, that's it.
All right, Ms. Barnhill, welcome to the War Council as one of our guests. As everybody, this is Ms. Barnhill. Ms. Barnhill, everybody.
Hello, hello.
Hi. Welcome.
Welcome, Sora.
I don't think she heard you. I'll do the introduction afterwards.
Hey, thank you, everybody.
All right, so let's get into it. So, most of the time when we're talking about relationships on Love Day, what is exactly the obligation relationship to do things on Valentine's Day. And I'm just going to lob this out. This is a setup question. This is everything else. So what is the obligation of two people in a relationship to apply each other for Valentine's Day, for Love Day, for February 14th? Any ideas?
I don't think there's an obligation at all except for to continue to treat each other well, like you've been doing throughout the relationship. The gifts and the special planning to go somewhere, that's just, it's extra, just like with any other occasion. As long as you have each other, you continue to work with each other and the love is there and you're not really on bad terms, you keep communicating. I don't see any obligation. I mean, all that commercialism is really to make you feel a certain kind of way. Because most people that I find in relationships that are, they have that genuine, real love and that good bond between them, it's just another day and they're spending time with each other, which is basically what they want. That's just my take on it.
Okay.
I kind of somewhat agree with Danielle, but it has to be the agreement between the two people in the relationship, because some people don't care whether they celebrate Valentine's Day or not, and then other people are more into it. So as long as you're in agreement with each other, and then it you know, whatever you do is what you do. My Valentine's story is more about my dad than it has been about any other relationship. My father used to always get my mother 2 dozen roses for Valentine's Day, and he would get me 6 dozen. And it was something that he did faithfully from the time I turned 13. And unfortunately, my father passed away just around Christmas time, but he was notorious for doing things like way ahead of time. So my father died December of 2004, and then I came home because his birthday was just before Valentine's Day, so Mom wouldn't be by herself for Dad's birthday. And I stayed a few days. And on February 14th, faithfully, her 2 dozen roses and my 6 dozen showed up at the house because he had pre-ordered it before he died. That was one of the craziest moments in my life because it was like he reached out beyond to give us something that day.
Beautiful.
Wow.
That's what that is. That's beautiful.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah, the whole, I personally do not like obligation for anything. It is definitely about agreement. I believe that it's about your volition, and it is about making the choice to celebrate your partner.
Mm-hmm.
But anything done out of compulsion is or obligation is not an expression of volition. So, If we take obligation out of it, because you don't have to do anything. So all I got to do is stay black and die. But I choose to celebrate, a partner on any particular day, whether it's Valentine's Day or not, then that is an expression of my care, my concern, my love, my admiration for them, and I want to celebrate them. And again, like I said, it's whether it's on Valentine's Day or not.
So, all right. Anyone else? Anyone else? Anybody else want to answer, or are we just going to flow to the next topic? All right, go once, going twice, 3 times, and we move on. All right. So in the back channel, someone's like, "I'm in your back channel." Hey, they said there's no obligation. There should be an inspiration to show love, romance, and intimacy freely. Valentine's Day is overhyped. My husband only gave me Valentine's gifts when he was cheating. Damn.
Well, damn.
Whoa.
So yes, and if you're listening, you're streaming along with us, feel free to ask questions, drop answers. You know how we do in the War Council. We'll bring them up. We'll stay anonymous. You can drop whatever you want to drop, ask whatever questions, and we will not mention your name unless you ask us to. So feel free to ask us questions, or feel free to pose questions to us, or put things on the floor, or answers. We're here for it all. All right? Now, one of the most interesting things that I saw in the thing, and I'm going to go to the fact or cap, because Mr. Wendell Berry brought this up. He said the reason why women struggle with dating from the male perspective is, one, the perception women have about how men think and operate when it comes to dating and romance is extremely inaccurate. Two, the dating philosophies lots of women follow are illogical, unfair, or hypocritical, and do not lead to healthy relationships. And three, most women don't have any interest in acknowledging they contribute to their dating failures or doing anything to correct the things they can't control. All right? So, quick two-minute elaboration, Mr. Berry, and away we go.
I really just saw that in another group and wanted to throw it in our group here to kind of stimulate some conversation. I am a big advocate for personal responsibility, and that anyone, whatever condition you find yourself in, there you are. And so you are a major contributing factor to being in that position, and that is regardless of gender. However, accountability and personal responsibility is pivotal when you're looking at trying to diagnose whatever an issue is, and especially if you're trying to find a way out of it, or if you're looking to improve that condition. To that effect, there are, and I don't say this for all women, because nothing is universal, but what is popularized is that there's typically much fault when someone is asked, you know, or when a woman is asked about, you know, why a relationship failed, or to do an autopsy on the relationship. You know, it is the prevailing trend that not a lot of finger pointing is done at themselves rather than at the other person, whether it's he cheated, he did this, he did that, you know, he was abusive, or, you know, a lot of the kind of the tropes that kind of get put out there. There's no excuse for cheating or for abuse or anything like that. But I find it hard to believe that virtually every relationship that goes awry is due to a man cheating or laying hands, you know, on a woman. So I would always ask the question, what did you contribute to the success and or failure of your relationship?
All right, so we're at our time. Wait, hold on, because we're at our time, which is good.
Yeah.
Because we got a lot of topics to cover, so I don't want to cut you off, but I want to make sure that we can all get
into
questions.
No, you're good, bro.
All right, so panel, your responses.
I agree. I think it's a major issue between couples, because when there's a disagreement, especially, and it turns into a heated argument, one person doesn't really want to take responsibility for the part that they played in whatever the issue is and how it escalated. But I am as Wendell, I'm a big advocate for taking responsibility for the part that you play in it, what you've done, your actions, your words, everything. Because I was in a very abusive relationship. For years, my marriage was very, very abusive. It was very one-sided, but I know the part that I played in it as well. giving up control, which was enabling him to continue the treatment the way that he did. I allowed him to treat me that way, partially because I was naive and I didn't know better, but we all play a role. We all play a part that we have to be responsible for. And that's it.
I agree with Danielle. You have to take your part for whatever it is, and whether it be the abusive one or the complacent one, you still have to be responsible for what your part in what brought you to the place where you're having issues or decide to go your separate ways. Like Danielle said, I'm a person who takes responsibility for my part in, and I've been in bad relationships and I've stayed longer than I should have, and that's my own fault. So I can't blame you for continuing to do what you were already doing, but I didn't do anything about it.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, y'all so positive tonight.
The brothers are just quiet, except for, you know. What's on your mind? Oh, wait a second. I'll bring somebody out. Area code 540.
Okay, am I muted?
Area code 540. No, you're not muted. Who else is speaking? Hello? Area code 540.
Okay,
hello?
I'm hoping that you're hearing me. Hello?
I can hear you. Can you hear us?
Yes, we can hear you.
Hello? Hello?
Connection.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, I wanted to share something that in...
Oh, wait. Who are you?
I don't know if I want everybody to know me.
Okay.
Because what I'm going to tell you is strange.
Okay, fine.
But yeah, I will tell you. My name is Helen.
Okay.
Hello, Helen.
Hey, Helen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I wanted to tell you something. Okay. In August, and somewhere between August and September, I died 8 times. And on one of those times that I died, I realized for the first time that I didn't know what love was. And I did go to a place where there was love. Love like I had never known before. And I think sometimes what we call love is really not love. And I felt love like I had never felt before. So this year on Valentine's Day, and, you know, it almost passed me by because I don't see that as love. While I was deceased, a friend of mine that I call my big brother was on the phone, he and his wife. And my pastor was in the room, and she said I didn't know her. And so I just told her she was a woman of God. But I remember being picked up like I was a baby. And I felt all of this love that I had never felt before in my life, not as a child, not as a teenager, not as a grown woman. And we have to find love ourselves and not put that burden off on somebody else. And I think in my life, I put the burden off on somebody else. You know, I felt that mom didn't love me, dad didn't love me, didn't nobody love me. But for the first time in my life, I felt love. And pure love only comes from one place. Now, I can't tell you that all of those trips were loving because they weren't. But I can say that you have to love yourself and God's love. I wasn't seeking his love when I died because I didn't know what love was. And so sometimes we're seeking something that doesn't exist in another human being. And I don't want to get creepy on you, so I'm going to cut out of here unless someone wants to ask me a question.
Well, it's not that, people want to ask you a question. I mean, because your experience is your experience. And
yes.
It's for you. And we are very respectful of you sharing with us. We thank you for sharing. You know, and because we're traveling at a certain rate within a certain time and we have certain topics, I believe that if you want to leave information for people to get in contact with you to talk to you directly, but the show is not comprised of your particular singular experience. It's composed of many different experiences and the things. Therefore, you know, this is what you get with the kitchen sink. You get everything with the kitchen sink. So,
and I understand that, and that's why I'm not prolonging. I'm going to move out of the way. It's not something that most people can comprehend. My doctors don't comprehend it. They say they never had this to happen to them. And so I'm not going to prolong your show with my experience because my perception of love is totally different. So
thank you for you sharing your story. And we'll return you to Q and stay tuned. We'll be having a great time and we'll be talking. And feel free to ask questions or more. And if anybody wants to contact you, I don't know if you know how to find us on Facebook, but it's War Council. Apply for a membership. We'll talk to you, and we'll see you there. All right?
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, that was Helen with her definition of love. I also received another back channel. Since we were talking about personal accountability and failed relationships, all right, so personal accountability and failing relationships or failed relationships is healing. I agree. If the person still blames the other person exclusively, they haven't healed from it and will likely take that wound into a new situationship. Wound and new situationship. So that came in from the back channel. Does anyone else have anything? I believe Dawood, you was getting ready to speak.
Yes, sir. So the question was, well, you basically read that thing from Wendell about accountability for relationships going wrong. I think that here's what I think. I think that what goes wrong in relationships is more complicated than many of us comprehend. And when somebody asks us why relationships go wrong, and we give an answer, 9 times out of 10, it's a surface-level answer because we don't really know why we do what we do until years later. That's why I try to do my live called Conflict in Relationships, because there's just so many mental and spiritual factors that go into why we either have failed relationships or can't keep sustainable relationships, and we don't really know. So we'll say it's because he cheated, which is the number one reason to get out of something. Is he cheated or she cheated? Or I agree with Wendell on that. You understand? Or I just be choosing wrong. That's my favorite right there. You know, what was your side of it? Oh, I just be choosing wrong. And all of these things are really cop-outs. But in reality, I think that there's just so many more factors. Like today, we talked about, emotional incest. But there's just so many different ways that a person can sabotage happiness, based on upbringing, based on traumatic experiences, based on mental illness. And so, you know. What the hell is that?
What do you mean? What happened?
No, sorry. We got like an animal fighting in our room.
Oh, that's crazy.
In the house or something like that. Anyway. So, nah, because we got a basement, and I think we got a cat trapped in the basement. But nevertheless, so that's my take on it, bro. I think that I try to own as much as I can understand, I guess is what I'm saying, in a long, drawn-out, roundabout way. I try to own as much as I can understand. You understand? And when I get more information, then I try to own some more. But the bottom line is, what you think is what you did, or the part you played in the situation, it changes over time. And then you understand that there's so much more that went into why shit didn't work out, that your answer today could be totally different 10 years from now.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that.
Good point. Yeah. Van Metals, do you have anything you would like to contribute? Yeah, well, as soon as you hear that laugh, you know it's about to be on.
Oh, God.
What did I do to contribute to the downfall of my last relationship? I cared too much about another individual more than myself. So much that I was willing to overlook certain mistakes that were made for the sake of family, marriage, call it what you want. And I wrapped myself up a lot in work, be it my businesses, my work, my kids. I started paying less and less attention to what was actually happening. And I'll own that. But I will never downplay what I did to make sure that my household ran the way that it ran, on a single income and a stay-at-home wife with four kids. So that's what I did. I cared too much. Lost a whole lot of myself. In turn, it made me view things differently now. Just like Dawu said, if you'd have asked me this question 3-4 years ago, I would have said, hell, I don't know. I didn't think I had anything to do with the downfall, to be honest. And then when I heard the question and read it, I was like, dang, what the hell did I do? And I think that as time goes on, when you're with someone for a long time, there's a lot that you can forget, especially about yourself or how to date your significant other. And I think that as people, communication is definitely important, because if you forget, then the other person has to communicate that to you, not look for ways to get out of the situation. Communicate. So, yeah.
Well,
go ahead,
Wendell.
Very well said. I'm just checking the back channel to make sure I didn't miss anything. If you want to send a message, you can send a message anonymously if you so choose. Let us know. The one thing I do get into as the number two, where actually two and three. Accountability is very high for people, you know, for who won't accept that I might have had something to do with it. Oh, you know, blah blah blah. Oh, you know, he just went off and I'm perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And so some people, they get to the point where they're so settled. They're so used to things being a certain way that when those things change, it seems almost as if that person is actually trying to do something to them because they've changed their mind, they've changed their perspective, they've changed anything. As soon as the change happens, and so they won't acknowledge or accept the responsibility for possibly not doing the best that they can do, not pushing forward to do certain things, or utilizing, you know, like, utilizing tactics to try to elicit the response that you want, withholding sex, literally disagreeing just so you can have a certain way, or being one-sided about decision-making or talking or communication. One of my pet peeves, my personal pet peeve, my absolute personal pet peeve, is if I'm talking to you and you're talking over me, and every time I talk, you keep doing it, and you don't stop. Like, you just keep doing it because you think this is getting you the win. And it's not getting you the win. And this is what causes things to fail. So, you know, you're doing things to be aggravating. You're being passive-aggressive. You're doing all these different things. But people won't admit to it. You know, my ex would do exceedingly, exceedingly crazy things just to see what kind of confusion that she could breed or create with me. Just to see how much, you know, like I want you to hurt. And so when I was in a very bad situation, right, my father was there, right? It was almost like an intervention situation. My father's like, you are the worst state that you are mentally. And this, you know, she's yelling in your face. She wants to see you hurt. She wants to see you go through the whole thing. And then the funny thing is that I couldn't see it myself. Like, then I couldn't see it. Couldn't see it. So you couldn't even tell me about it. I wouldn't believe you. No, I don't believe that this is happening. No, this is not happening. But it was happening to me. And so someone won't admit that they're narcissistic. This is narcissistic as men, and sometimes worse, because the manipulation that they apply forth can be more caustic, because they don't just say like stuff just about the self-esteem. They get into the meat and bones of it. They do it over the course of time. They remind you, you know, nothing is ever good enough. It's something little, or, you know, you're like, okay, yeah, you and your little whatever, you know. The minimization of who you are and what you're doing and why you're doing it, you know, and then doing things like one of my favorite things that, like, I figured out so much later is that, all right, so one time I was in real bad trouble, right? So I had to go see my friend who was a lawyer, and she wouldn't take me to the place. She took me to the top of the block and told me to walk. She wouldn't do it. Right.
Bullshit.
You said what?
I said bullshit. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Right. And then she said, you know, so when I was in the situation, I called my father. And so my father came to my rescue. And she's like, I wish I had somebody who's going to come rescue me. I wish I had somebody who's going to come do that for me. And so at the time, I really just didn't think about what her mindset was when she was saying this to me. I didn't think about why it was important. She didn't even come and wait for me. I had to walk home. Like, you know, she would do stuff like she would see me on the street, drive by me like she didn't know me, and I was married to her.
Oh.
You know, actual factual, you know, like, this is the person I was married to. Like, literally, I had to go to a meeting, right? So I had to go to this meeting, right? And so she wouldn't drive me. She was like, nah, take a cab, right? So literally I come out the meeting, and she's walking, right? So that we would know. So I'm walking out of WAMC, like I'm walking out. And she's walking into the hardware store, which is right next door to it. And she acts like she doesn't see me. And I'm looking dead at her. And she just carries on like there's nothing wrong with her day. That's who she was. That's who I dealt with. And so, you know, that's why, like, I was laughing my head off when I was like, okay, you're posting about me. I haven't talked to you in over 2 years, and you're talking about stuff like it happened yesterday. I said, we have. I said, we're celebrating. Like, I celebrated 10 years of divorce. So we're 10 years. 10 years. Been gone. And I'm like, you're still writing about me. You're married to somebody else. Live in the house with them. Do something different. Do something different. What are you mad about? Go do something else. Now, the funny thing is that I wish them the best of luck. They just can't be in my presence, in my vicinity. I'm just not going to deal with it. But they won't accept all the stuff. They were like, writing, like, yeah, he won't tell the truth about this. I don't need to tell the truth. I'm free. I don't have to deal with you ever again in life. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I said, hopefully we'll be grandparents one day. And even then, you're going to be where you're at. I'm going to be where I'm at. Two fingers. I see you at the wedding. See you at the wedding. See you at Christmas.
Okay.
See you there. So it's crazy in the sense of seeing that when you hear about people not really being like, okay, let me not be accountable, in the dating philosophy and things of that sort. All right. I'm trying to find this thing so I can play it, and hopefully it'll play through. We're supposed to be doing it. All right, so we can move forward. Matter of fact, another scenario, we're going to throw this in here, all right, for your perusal, for people to come through and talk about it if they like. All right, so I posted this in War Council. I posted it on the thing, and it said, from D-Rock the Kid, Broke Man, yeah, that's me. All right, he said, Shorty texts me on accident. He cool, but I'm about to eat, then go see Jay, because I need to be dicked down while they were sitting at the dinner together, while they're sitting at dinner, right? And it comes from the thing about the worst date that you've been on. All right. So what would you do, and how would you handle it if the person texts you? Right, about they're basically sitting with you on a date, but they're basically about to go out. Like as soon as they're done with you, they're gonna tell you goodbye, and then they're gonna go get, you know, they do flip, you know, the wig flip, do twisted, all that good stuff. What does the good panel say about this?
This again, I'm finishing my meal, my drink, and I'm gone. I mean, have fun. That's it. Ain't no need for me to stick around. You done made your choice. Okay. Have a good time. Don't get banged. That's all I can do for you.
I think my biggest qualm with that, my biggest issue is that you're not being present here with me. If you and I are at dinner, I find it problematic that, you know, you're texting. But I mean, we're at the table, I'm assuming. We're at the table. You're texting the girl, you know, and as opposed to paying attention, you know, to me, what's going on in the here and the now. I don't know if this is the first date or not, but I'm not naive enough to think that I'm the only person that you may be dating at any particular time. And what you do with your body and everything outside of the time that you and I are together is indeed your business. But so I had more issue with the fact that she wasn't being present on the date, as opposed to planning to go and get her back blown out by somebody else, because, you know, the table turned and, you know, the old boy was like, yeah, you know, this is all right, but yeah, I'm about to go in. You know, after this is over, I'm going over to Keisha's house. I'm going to go and get me some viscous innards from over there.
Wait, say that one more time. Wait. Say that one more time.
Did you say biscuit?
Yes. Viscous innards.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm dying. I'm dead.
Hey, man, you know, I don't want to be hypocritical. I might feel a certain type of way because I may have wanted to be the one that she chose to clap the cheeks. But if she didn't choose to clap the cheeks and let me clap the cheeks, then that's her choice because it's her body. But be present with me while we're here if we are spending some time together. We'll go from there. That was my main issue.
All right, I got a message from the Back Channel. Back Channel says that would be a final date. I wouldn't even say anything. They'd just be out.
Mm-hmm. That might be the repercussion.
Right. People who do these kinds of things, though, if the table were turned, she would have made the greatest scene. If he were to accidentally text her something like she just texted her girl, she thought, she would have a total fit. But because it's her, it's fine. And there's a lot of people, male and female, who think that way. What they do is fine, but if somebody else does the same thing, there's something wrong with it.
The hypocrisy of it.
I mean, naturally, we're going to feel the party that is being ignored, that's being disrespected, is going to naturally feel some kind of way. But, I mean, everybody has their own reaction to it. Like I said, I'm good. I'm going to finish my meal, my drink, and I'm like, have a good night. You know, I'll see you whenever. And that's it. I'm not going to get my panties in a bunch. I'm not going to get worked up about it, because what I've learned in life, like Wendell said, I know that I'm not the only option. I'd be a fool to believe that, especially if we're in the dating stage. So, I mean, it is what it is. I'm not going to get all wrapped up in my feelings or anything like that. I'm going to feel some type of way for a little bit, but I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. It is what it is. I'm just at that stage now. Had I been asked this question about 20 years ago, I probably would have took one of my eating utensils and it would have wound up underneath their skin, because I'd have been just that hurt and reacted that way. But now, it's not even worth it, because guess what? It's like, you have options, I have options. And that's it.
Yeah.
And I can go home and I can talk about it. And make plans to do something else. Life is too damn short. I'm not wasting it getting angry at you because you can't make up your mind whether you want to sit and finish this date with me and enjoy it and appreciate me instead of going to be a fuck boy. Go on, I'm a fuck girl. Ho, slut, thot, whatever you want to call it. You know, just put it in.
Well, everybody else.
I just know myself well enough to know that if I'd read it, I agree with Danielle. I would have finished my meal and I would have excused myself to the bathroom and I would have just left. They would have never understood why I walked out. And when they text me to find out where I was, I would have just screenshotted what they texted and sent it back to them.
I don't owe no explanation about anything. People know what they do. They are completely aware of every action that they take. I don't owe you an explanation about anything. Bye. That's it. That's just the way I feel. I'm sorry.
I'm going to show you what you did and be like, now, did you mean to send this to me? Because you sent this to me. I just want to see your face.
Okay, there's some gratification in that. I agree with that part right there. Did you mean to send this to me? Because I got it.
I guess right. I have a different perspective.
All right, so what's your perspective?
Because if we are in the dating phase, I mean, certainly it didn't state what area of the phase we are in. But if we're just in the dating phase, you have to think about what it looks like to another individual in the dating phase. If you plan on being with this person long term, you're setting a precedent of if you ever mess up, then I already got somebody else over here waiting, right? But for me, I would have did what Daniel said. I finished my meal, and I'd have told her I needed separate checks. She's going to pay for hers. I'm going to pay for mine. I'm going to pay for mine, and I'm going to leave. and I probably wouldn't speak to her again. That would be the last date, because I'm more valuable to myself than to be with somebody who's, like Wendell said, who is not present in the date that we are currently on, because you're already considering your next option or the other option that you have. So there's no need for me to even continue to even try to pursue or even engage after that point.
Absolutely.
Wow. So, all right. So this has been good. Hold on. Let me check the back channel just in case I miss anything. I hate this thing. It automatically tries to update. Hey, open up. Okay. All right, so let me move over to this real quick. Okay. Okay. So when we're talking about what are things? All right, so there was a situation where someone went and they were with the person for 2 years. They were dating the person for 2 years. They got married, right? And at the end of the year that they were married, they separated. Now they're divorced. They've been in this relationship for a total of 4 years. And now that person is dating the friend of the person. I'm sorry. I don't mean to laugh. But they're dating the friend of the person that they were married to.
It's a choice. It's a fucked up choice, but it is a choice nonetheless. Some people don't see, they don't see anything wrong with that. I couldn't do that. I really couldn't, because I'd always be saying to myself, damn, nah. Somebody else take this. Nope. You're free to date who you want, but still, come on, man. There's certain lines you just don't cross unless you want to be super vindictive and you haven't gotten past that whatever it is that you guys went through, how they made you feel. Now I'm going to get this motherfucker back. I'm going to date this. I'm going to be with their friend.
Or the flip side of that coin could be that because they actually have moved on, you know, from their ex-spouse, they are no longer a factor in their decision-making process. So,
okay,
you know, they could be looking at the friend and evaluating that friend for, you know, who it is that, you know, she could be to, or, you know, who they could be to them. And not allow, you know, the ex's perceptions or opinions to be a determining factor or even a variable in that calculus.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, I kind of feel that way too. Yeah, because sometimes you can know someone forever, and then somewhere along the way, the spark happens, and it wasn't there in the beginning. It was a friendship, but it turns into something different, and that could very well be that type of a situation. And as you said, you know, the marriage is over, that they are no longer a factor. And if it happens that way, it happens that way. I think it would also bear into the situation is how close a friend was this other person to whichever party. You know, were they someone who they just knew, or were they someone that they've been friends with forever? It's a whole lot behind a situation like.
You know what? Like I said, it's choice. You never know who you're going to wind up with. Okay, the heart wants what it wants. You will pursue who you want to pursue. You will allow in who you want to allow in. I personally, I don't think I could do that, but you never know. I mean, it is for real.
Wow. All right. So, in the world of Reddit, which I'm actually pulling these next two scenarios from, I know this is when I read it, I kind of knew that the people, they were not black. Because I think the response would have been different. All right, so let me just give you a surmise, all right? So, men and women are married. The husband, his mother is a frequent flyer, trespasses upon their personal space consistently and constantly. It's always over, always there, in the guise of helping, helping to clean up, helping to do certain things, helping to do all these other different things, all right? And so they have a baby, right? And the mother-in-law is ecstatic, wants to help and wants to be there all the time. Wants to come in, had been given a key for emergencies, but they use the key freely to go back and forth and come in whenever they feel like it, right? So being that that the wife has had postpartum depression and stuff like that and has been struggling with the child is colicky, and different things, and is very tired, and the husband works all the time, so she doesn't get a lot of breaks. Right. She was complaining to the husband about needing help from him and different things, and he wasn't responding because, because he wasn't sleeping either because the baby would cry throughout the night. So imagine this. The mother-in-law comes in and takes the baby without them knowing because they were sleeping.
Oh.
Takes the baby to her house and then sends pictures on her phone to them. She wakes up, she doesn't hear the baby, and she's freaking out because she's like, what if it's SIDS, sudden infant death syndrome, and the baby has died and because the baby hadn't cried. And so it's freaking out, and she was looking for a baby, and she was yelling throughout the house, expecting the baby to pop up. It was a person like, hey, here I am. And then she gets the text from the mother-in-law that she basically came in while they were sleeping and took the baby to her house and said, oh,
no, you bring me my damn baby. Hell no. I don't care who she is.
Wait a second. Before I give you the conclusion,
I'm sorry,
right? Because I want the perspectives. I want the your perspectives. I want the male perspective. I want the female perspective. So, on this one, I want to ask the fellas what you would do if your mother-in-law stuck in your house and took your baby. Now, we're all fathers on this council, so I already know a certain response. Would you be cool with it? Would you not be cool with it? What would you do?
I'm flipping. I'm just tell you straight.
Yeah.
I'm flipping.
I consider myself to be a calm and rational individual, but when it comes to my baby, you about to get that work. Because in what world do you find that to be acceptable and appropriate behavior?
Is
the audacity for me.
Number one, as long as you live, don't you ever, I don't care if you are the grandmother, take my child without us knowing. Because if we'd have called the police, you would be locked up for kidnapping charges. and I would let you sit right there in that jail and rot. Number two, give me back my damn key. You are no longer allowed to have access to our home in that capacity. Number three, I wish my wife would tell me I was out of line. I'm taking a baby.
Come on.
And we getting a divorce.
Mm.
I don't play that, man. That's you don't do that. You don't do that.
You don't do that.
What if she'd have gotten to an accident on the way leaving the house and our child?
Mm-hmm. Stop, Lord.
Whew. Yeah.
This question is
giving me
anxiety.
Right,
it would not have happened if our child was where we placed our child, safely at home.
Mm-hmm.
I would lose it. I'm telling you right now, I would lose it.
Yeah.
So
somebody might end up, a chalk outline.
I'm only laughing because I know what I would do. So, I remember when my son was born, right? And so he was in danger of having infant diabetes, and I was trying to feed him the bottle, and this nurse, this older black woman, she snatched him out of my arm, and it took all of my strength.
Mm-hmm.
It took all of my strength. Like you know you get to the moment where it take all your strength not to punch somebody in the head.
Uh-huh.
Right? It take all your strength not to punch somebody in the head. And because she just snatched him out of my arms because she's like, oh, you got to feed him. And I'm sitting there trying to feed him, And she just came in, snatched him out of my arms and started feeding him. And I was just like, I understand why you did it, but you don't snatch anything from me, particularly my child. And, I literally went through this before with my son, with my youngest son. His mother had a heart attack. It was they had to do like emergency thing. They had to put her in a coma and all kinds of crazy shit. So, and I was just with my son. So then her family was like, yo, we'll take him for the weekend. And his cousin's having a party. So I was like, cool, right? So in my family, right, when a child turns two, we cut the hair. That's our ritual. This is our thing. This has been handed down, I don't know how many years. There's pictures of my brothers getting their hair cut, So literally, it was like crazy because, she was under, and then she woke up and she called me, which is crazy. She was like, you'd be on the phone, somebody call you, you'd be like, hello. And they're like, yeah, where you at? So I'm like, what? So I'm like, I'm in the hospital with her. And so I'm like asking to see my son, and they wouldn't let me see my son. And I was like, where's my son? And they wasn't showing me pictures of my son, right? Because her sister decided that she would cut his hair. And it was almost like spite, but she was going to cut his hair. So I was like, listen, you have 24 hours to bring me back my son. Or when I show up with the police, somebody's going to jail. And I was like, they was like, you won't talk to me like that. I said, no, I'm going to talk to you anyway. I said, bring me my son. They said, well, he has diarrhea, blah, 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 wouldn't be good, anything else. So when they brought him back, I took him, I was on the phone with my lawyer, and I took him and I walked in and I said, anybody who comes in this room is going to get the benefit of all these hands and all these feet I got for them. But they never came to the room. But the fact was, we don't really want to play with you around your son. I was like, I'm the worst. Really don't want it with me. But I would do similar things. If I ever caught you, if you took my child, and you didn't say anything to me, and you just took up my child out of the house and went to your house, and you thought he was doing something, I was like, it's going to be some things, and
I hope that my significant other would talk to you before I get to you, because if I get to you, it's not going to be a pleasant thing. All right, so let me give you the rest of this and some back channels that came through. One of the back channels that said, not cool, boundaries should have been set way before that happened. She was overstepping her bounds from day one. All right, so that's one. Hold on. Hold for a second. You'll doubt who you or not. Anyway, hold on, put that back on. All right, so here's the other thing of what happened, the conclusion as to what happened. So the wife was very upset. The wife was very upset. The husband went and got, because she was on warpath, the husband went and got the baby. And she, you know, and the husband took the key back and did everything else. And then she took the baby and immediately moved out and stayed with her parents, and was going to divorce him because, you know, you have to establish boundaries. It's, you know, it's either you or me against the world or nobody. And so he was, like, trying to figure out, and then everybody was writing letters to her from the family supporting her, saying that they understood and what was happening was wrong. And then the mother-in-law wrote her letter saying, I know you don't want to deal with me or anything else, and I thank you for not pressing charges, you know, but, you know, I didn't do it in spite. I was trying to help out and all this other stuff. But she's like, I don't even care about all that. And then she said she has to really consider whether she wants to stay in the marriage with him, with a person like that. And then apparently he decided to stand up for his family and do all this other stuff that was happening so that he could stay together with his wife. But but in the back of her mind, the fact that he allowed it and didn't, like, immediately go after it, it's causing her issues in the relationship. So do you think that she is a person who's being extra, or do you think that she's well within her rights?
All kinds of boundaries had already been crossed before she took the baby. She was coming in when she wanted to and doing what she wanted in their house already. So that was the time for him to set boundaries long before they got to the point where she was taking the baby out of the house. Because he was allowing his mother to roughshod his home and not putting any boundaries up to protect his wife in that situation. So I can't blame the wife for feeling like, you know, she was the outsider, because that's the way he was treating
her. Let me tell you something. Anything came out of me, I don't care who you are, what your relationship is with whoever. You are not to just come and go as you please just because you have a key that gives you access to my sanctuary, my place of peace, my safe place, okay? It was for just that purpose, for emergency. That's it. For him to not speak up and check her on that shit right then and there, oh, we'd have been done then. I'm not going to go back and forth with you, okay? This is my house. This is our child, okay? She doesn't have a right to just come and go as she pleases. That was established when you gave her the key. You got that established. Okay, this is for emergency, Mom. That's it. Don't come in here anytime you feel like it, okay? Give me a call, a heads up. You are not to come across that threshold unless it is an emergency, okay? For her to have the audacity, the nerve, the gall to come and take my baby. Heck, she done bumped her head and gone crazy. Child, please, I'd have lost all my shit. I'm trying to tell you, I'm not a nice person when it comes to my kids. I'm not. Something like that is whoo, that's detrimental. Oh, child, nope. Nope. Divorce. Lucky I didn't tie his ass up and put him in the basement somewhere. Yeah, please. Oh, Lord. Now, she's wrong. He should have done something right then and there. The first time that she came there without giving them a heads up and thinking it was just okay to just take the key and open the door and come through, he should have checked her right then and there. Okay.
The first
you don't
time
allow
he tried
something
to get
like
before.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't allow something like that to go on. He should have said something, mother or not. There he didn't marry his mother, okay? He didn't have a baby with his mother. He is not in that kind of relationship with his mother. Okay? This is my child, my home, my wife, whatever she is, the mother of my child. You can't do this. You cannot cross that threshold like that. You cannot cross those boundaries like that. Okay? You're wrong. Mom, don't do it. Don't do it again. I think you owe my wife an apology. That's it. And if she takes it upon herself to do it again, now she is cut off. Because people will continue to disrespect you and take from you as long as you allow it. You have to set boundaries and get that shit established right then and there. The first time they got one time to fuck up with me. That's it. I'm trying to tell you. It ain't happening, Captain. Not in this lifetime. Nope, not with mine. Shit. I'm not saying I love my babies any more than the next person does. But rules are put in place for a reason, okay, to keep a certain order. And then when you break those rules, and you cause chaos, you cause an upset, then you are no longer allowed in my world. You're not welcome. I don't care who you are. Okay? That's it. Plain and simple. Yeah, I would have lost my shit. She'd have been everything but a child. I'm trying to tell you. Mm. Ooh, who asked this question? Lord, have mercy. Goodness gracious, that is a parent's worst nightmare. You wake up and your child is just gone. I can't even fathom the feeling my heart would drop. My baby, my child, are you kidding me? This can't be a real question. This cannot be real. Oh, my God.
Sauron's wrath will be terrible. His retribution swift.
No, this would be a reckoning, okay? I'm trying to say, you're fucking with me, you're fucking with the devil. I'm trying to tell you. Mine? Lord,
yeah.
Forgive me. I'm gonna have to say some prayers later on, talk to God, because he knows my heart. But he knows... my heart at the same time. So.
Crazy.
No, I'm sorry, my phone died. I had to call back in. All right. So sorry, that was crazy. We also got some back channels while I was looking in things. So, all right. So, important back channel. First of all, which is remain anonymous. From the previous discussion with a friend, David, the husband after divorce. Do you believe in bringing your single female/male friends around your spouse?
Yeah. I mean, that's, if anything, you know, I don't think it's not intended to be a test, you know, however, everything is about relationship. Everything rises and falls on relationship. Therefore, mm-hmm. if a friend, you know, either did not value our relationship enough to maintain discipline, or vice versa, if it was the wife, if she did not, you know, maintain discipline or at least communicate, you know, then that just exposes an issue in that particular relationship that needs to be addressed.
It needed to be made.
I'm a type of person, I'm going to give you all the rope in the world. Now, if you choose to tie a knot to hang yourself, or if you choose to tie a knot to give yourself a foothold, that's up to you. But I'll be happy to watch you swing or hang.
Doesn't matter whether the person is single or if they're married. If people are going to violate the relationship, it's going to happen, plain and simple.
Yep.
I've seen it too many times. It's about choice. plain and simple.
Absolutely.
I have had my girlfriends before I allowed my husband to have complete control. I brought my girlfriends around. I only have a handful of them, but I brought them around. He brought his single friends around. There was no disrespect. There wasn't no side eye or anything like that. No, that energy wasn't there. But I have seen couples mess around with other married couples. The one of the spouses would mess around with another spouse, and they were friends. So that single thing, it really doesn't matter. If people gonna fuck around, they're gonna fuck around. Plain and simple. If there's gonna be a line of disrespect, it's gonna happen. And it was meant to be found out. If you do find out, that's just, you know, that's just life, period. So, single or not, I've heard this thing. No, you can't be around those single people. Why? Why not? You don't trust. It's usually a trust factor.
Right.
If your partner has an issue with you being around single people, then it's something that a personal issue that they have to address. They have to deal with. You guys have to communicate about that and find out what is the issue. Why do you have a problem with me being around my single girlfriend? Now, if I was the type of woman where I wanted to run around with them all the time, now I'm putting myself in a position where I'm going to do something eventually. Here we go with boundaries again, okay? You have to have a certain amount of respect you have in your relationship. You can't just go running around doing whatever you want, okay, because you have that freedom of choice. But as far as your partner having an issue with it, I think that is something that you really need to sit down and talk to them about and find out what the problem is, whether it's her or him, you know. But going back to that single friend thing, bringing them around, why not? You deal with single people every single day. You may have to handle some business with them, whatever the case may be. I don't think it's about a single thing. I really don't.
Lisa, are you there?
On the other side of the coin, you have to know who you're bringing into the situation too, because
yep.
I know I have girlfriends that will flirt with anybody, and so I don't want that in my house, so I don't want you around my man. Because I don't want to have to break your neck. Because you coming at him whether he responds to it or not. You should have enough respect for me as your friend to not do that. But I know that you're that kind of a person, so I'm not going to bring you around. I had to learn that the hard way. Because I had, actually, the girl introduced me to the guy that I was dating. But she came at him when I wasn't around one day, and he told me about it. So I'm like, if you wanted him in the first place, why'd you introduce him to me?
Well, because she didn't want him until you wanted him. Some people are like that. They get off on shit like that. They do. They don't want nothing to do with that person until somebody else wants him. I'm like, why you didn't go for him in the first damn place? I wasn't interested.
I didn't think. I didn't think he was cute until I said he was cute. You know, I know you all that night out for all this other this and blah blah blah. You know, I mean,
previous relationships have shown me what happens when I trust two people too much. So I'm of the mantra now that I don't trust anybody. So I'll bring them around, but. You know, I'm not going to treat my friends any different. I'm not going to treat her any different. But just know that I don't trust neither one of y'all. I don't put nothing past anyone.
Right.
So yeah, you can come around. You can hang out. We can do all that stuff. You know, we can make jokes, have fun, have a good time. But I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I don't trust her. We can be friends. I mean, I'm just it's just who I am. I'm not going to trust you. You know, because I will be the one later talking about, see, I told you so. I knew you and him had a thing going on. And you know, that's how you end up on Mari. That's how you end up on Jerry Springer. That's how you end up in the paternity test court. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'll bring them around. It's my choice whether I trust either one of them, and I choose not to. But I don't treat them any different. I just know my limitations.
I hear that. I trust people to do exactly whatever the fuck they're going to do. If you're a snake, I trust you to bite me. You still gonna be a snake, okay? You're an asshole. I trust you to be an asshole. Plain and simple. Instead of distrust, I just understand, you know, certain things in life, some experiences.
Wow.
Who's going to do what the hell they're going to do?
So, any other commentary? Hold on. Check the back channel real quick. That leads me to this that was posted. I posted it in the group. Where Masika curved the dude for like 10 years. 10 years she curved. 10 years she was curving this dude. Right? Let's see if we can play it. Let me know if you can hear it.
Masika tweeted.
Hold on.
Masika is engaged, and this is how she announces her engagement to her fiance. Masika tweeted, "Been my fiance 10 years ago. Curved him for 97% of those 10 years. Been dating for 4 months. He asked me to marry him 4 days ago. Last night I asked him, what made you so sure after only 4 months of dating? He said, I knew 10 years ago on the day I met you that I was going to marry you." Her and Chimp ended up breaking up only after 3 weeks of the engagement. I'll tell you why later on. And I know, after reading this, you love her way more than she likes you. And that this is about to be the most one-sided relationship you ever been in your life.
Facts.
She made him wait while other guys had their turn, a.k.a. her better options. And when she realized they were just in it for a joyride, then she settled down for her sponsor. Boy, your stuff seems shot like a Mississippi pissy-ass possum on the back roads. Boy, she done settled for Myron from the Players Club with body magic on.
Can I come in?
Hell no, don't you. I'm going to put my house together. I'm going to call the police on you.
Why? I always make sure you get home safe.
I've been covering this man for 10 years, and she finally gave in. She pretty much said, I might as well get married since ain't nobody else out here popping the question, except the nigga with his organs tucked in his face. I tell you what, though, at least Deb Jackson is proud of you. When she realized this was a horrible mistake, it's going to hit you in the face like a tall can of twisted sweet tea.
I'm going to stop it right there.
That is such bullshit. She did what the hell she wanted to do. It wasn't that nobody else was asking her. She wanted to do what the hell she wanted to do until she got tired. Planning for, man, and he's a, Lord, I got that poor child. He waited. He pursued
let me talk
that
to the
all.
Let me talk to him. Right.
She knew what kind of fool she had in him.
What you going to say?
Somebody.
What I'm going
to
say.
Somebody talk to him.
What I'm going to say to him. You had kids. Y'all be divorced in a few years. Should take you for everything you got. You might want to rethink this plan.
He thought, Lord, he got crazy. Ain't no way. He knew.
Wow.
But she knew from him, and she knew because of the way that he acted toward her what she could get away with, and she took it for its full advantage. She knew she
wanted to
came along, and so she did.
She wanted to continue exploring her whole ality until she just got tired.
And right. since he was still around, she said, well, he's still here.
Wait, pause. Did you say hoality?
She was exploring her hoality. Yes, she was. go ahead, do what you get as much as you want. You know, it's recommended that we have a lot of sex, but still, come on, man. Somebody put a bug in dude's ear, please. Somebody talk to him because it's his choice. It's poor baby.
I mean, he might have been doing his thing. I hear you, Wendell. He might have been doing his thing too, though. I hear you, Wendell. Go ahead, bro.
I'm just like, there's one thing that you got to do. I mean, you got to understand when you're writing someone a blank check, don't be mad when they fill in the zeros.
Man. Yes, sir.
You got 4 or 5 zeros in there. Hold up. Wait a minute. I was maybe 1 or 2.
No.
4 or 5. Yeah. 4 or 5 zeros.
That is part of the detriment of not valuing yourself enough or having the mindset that you're supposed to love the other person more than you love yourself. Because you're setting a precedent. You are setting the stage and preparing the table for you to be taken advantage of. And lo and behold, that's exactly what happened. And when she came to the realization that her other options weren't as appealing, or when she had quote unquote gotten it out of her system, then she fell back to him after she had done monkey branching. she came back and got with the guaranteed thing. And that's not, if you value yourself, if you love yourself at all, don't do that.
Don't be that guy.
Please,
but the funny thing is that we talk about it in different things, and I think there's an interesting thing that goes on now, because I think that the playing field is becoming more even, because we're seeing all of these famous wives leaving their husbands after all the time, after, you know, everything else, because they still want to get it in while they're still young enough to attract people. So the funny thing is, I remember I was looking at Fat Man Scoop and his wife Shonda, right? And now Shonda has divorced Fat Man Scoop, and she's married, you know, she's with a much, much younger man, you know? And so, you know, like, she basically got the money, got the bag, got a younger man, you know what I'm saying? And you start to see the women are doing, you know, Emmett Smith's wife. You know, you see, you know, who was married to Martin Lawrence beforehand, where they say, I won't be married anymore. I won't be married anymore. I kind of want to get out here, find me something young, make me feel good, everything else like that, and go do something different. And so you start to see the same behavior that men have being displayed in women. And so there was this other clip that I wanted to play. I'm going to see if I can find it real quick, because I'm going to keep checking the back channel, make sure that I didn't miss anything. Because this clip is crazy. And I didn't get a chance to put it in the group because I was, like, looking for it, and I couldn't find it at first, but I had to scroll up. All right. Hold on a second. We have another good stuff. Hold on. Taking me a little bit longer. Anyway, I'll do that beforehand while I'm looking for it. So, all right. What would you do? Right. One second. While I'm looking for it. So let me go to here real quick. Sorry.
what's crazy is that my kid who's like in the bed, he's playing on my YouTube, and so he's pushing my stuff on YouTube, bro. I'm like, wait a second, I just had this, and I'm like, what the hell is y'all doing on my shit? He's watching my YouTube while we're talking right now, which is crazy. Hold on, this is nuts. Yo, he put mad stuff in. I don't even know what he was doing. I'm almost there. Other than that, which is terrible. I'm sorry for the delay. You cannot be serious. Yeah, he just literally is just going through videos. They're just looking at it. What would you do if you found out, right? So your grandchild, your father, his sister, and his brother are responsible for your grandparents' estate. Your grandfather, who's already passed, he made some investments, and they were really, really good investments. And so the investments actually paid off, and they were sitting there, and he made the investments to take care of his wife in case he was gone. So you, as your father is one of the estate people, he literally gets his dream job, so he ends up moving to a different part of the state, which is very far away. It's at least 6 hours away. And so the aunt and the uncle who lives in a different state, the aunt is like, I'll take care of the day-to-day for mom, right? So then when you go to visit your mother, you go to visit your grandmother, you discover that, you know, some of her services are not working. You know, she's not getting her newspaper, her driveway's not being plowed when it snowed, grass is not being cut. She was eating moldy bread and stuff like that, and the aunt only comes over on Saturdays for about an hour, just for general check, right? So then eventually what happens is that the grandmother dies, and then her estate is there. Her estate is there. And so the aunt is like, well, you know, there's not really that much money left. We'll sell the house. We'll sell the house for like $400,000, and, you know, we'll split it, and everybody can have their part, and we'll go at it like that, right? And just sign the paperwork, and we'll be done, right? So you're like, okay, the way that the will is read, like, the grandchildren are supposed to get $10,000 apiece, you know, for them, right? So, and there's like five grandchildren, so they're supposed to get $10,000 apiece. The estate's supposed to be split, you know, basically 33% between the siblings, right? And everything else that happens. So when the father's looking over the will, and he's like, why would I sell this house? Because the house is worth at least $600,000, $700,000. I think you're underestimating the cost of everything. And she's like blowing up, and she's losing her shit. She's mad, and she's like, blah, 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 and I had to be here to take care of where you were, and blah, 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 and all this other shit, right? And you weren't here. You were too busy chasing your dreams, right? And so the father's like, there's some shenanigans afoot. And so then he doesn't sign the paperwork. He goes back. He gets an independent lawyer, and he comes back to the estate lawyer. Right, and they hire forensic accountants and investigators. And then you discover that basically the aunt basically said that the grandmother was having almost $2,000 a month in food and groceries, but nobody ever saw it. They were getting all these services, and that her husband had been doing repairs to the house at an inflated rate, and everything was super inflated. So long story short, they find out that the aunt basically was stealing all the money, right? Stealing all the money, right? And literally to the tune of $1.2 million. And
she doesn't have a way of giving the money back. What would you do?
It's probably like somebody's going to be filing bankruptcy.
That's it?
Well, I would say if she's already gathered that much for herself, then whatever's left doesn't need to be given to her at all. Her third is pretty much null and void, and whatever she's already spent, that's on her. And what's left would be divided between me and my brother, and the kids would get their part. Because, I mean, you're at a point where she doesn't have it. She spent it.
Mm. Wow. So,
yeah, justice dictates that there is some type of consequence that should accrue to her. Now, if she's already spent the money, the question would then be, what did she spend it on? You know, did she have did she use it to buy any other assets, or was she just blowing the money? But whatever it is that she does have, should be forfeit, and whatever it is that she may get in the future is also up for grabs, which is why I state that sounds like someone's going to be filing bankruptcy, because I'm coming after all of that.
Mm-hmm.
Because you violated the trust of the family, you violated the terms of the will, you neglected your mother, our mother, and for all intents and purposes stole. So, you know, divine justice is one thing, but you got some get back coming right now.
Oh man. Van, I'm interested, due to your financial background, what would you do?
I'd be filing motions in court to make sure that she does exactly what Wendell says. She files bankruptcy. We would have to have papers drawn up indicating that because of her theft, that she is no longer entitled to any proceeds from the sale of said house until she pays back. And if she is, that money would go to paying back what she had stole. Otherwise, she'd be looking at some jail time as well.
Mm. So, all right. Ladies, your opinion.
It got like that between my family members. I stayed out of it, but it turned into a really ugly court battle. And it wasn't that much money, but it was a large amount that was coming in monthly. And it involved my nephew and his wife and my sister. And my mother actually left power of attorney to my sister, but my nephew, some kind of way, they swindled my mother out of not just her finances that she was getting in there, but her house. And it was a stop put to that, but it was a nasty, nasty battle. I just sat back and watched it. I don't want anything to do with it. I don't know a whole lot about that, but I would agree with Van and Wendell about putting a stop to it. Because what I want to know is, now, when you were asking this question, did they find out about all of this, the wrong that she was doing after the grandmother had passed, or was someone aware of this during it?
No, they found out afterwards. They found that all the figures were hyperinflated, and that basically right before they was going to come after the company that her husband had, he filed for bankruptcy. So because basically the company had gotten $200,000 to fix it and stuff that was breaking. Oh yeah. If you're listening within this, you have 60 seconds to call in to continue the conversation. The number is 319-527-6300. We're not here for a long time. We're here for a good time, but we got another thing that we're going to add, and it'll be better if we do it over and over time. So if you're with us, call in 319-527-6300. It's going to be dope, and away we go. I'm not playing any music because it's going to be extra loud. You got about 10 seconds, 15 seconds, no, 10 seconds, call in. But to continue the conversation, when they did the forensic accounting and they figured out how much that she actually took, and she was supplementing her lifestyle while letting her mother suffer and doing all this other stuff that was you have 10 seconds. They discovered how much money she took in all. And they did pretty much exactly what Wendell and Van had said, that basically she wasn't allowed to get any of the other money. And she was actually supposed to pay restitution to the nephew, who had a financial career, you know, financial services career. And so basically the aunt was supposed to pay back the $10,000, right? And because they were trying to figure out how does an aunt afford all these things on a retired teacher salary along with a husband that was doing construction. Couldn't figure it out. So they figured out what's going on. So when the aunt did not pay the restitution, he took everything to the IRS. And then the IRS
all of her assets. Absolutely.
They sold her house, cars, anything that she had.
Absolutely.
They took all the money off the account. And then he received $60,000. And he said, listen, if you had paid me the $10,000, this wouldn't even went down. And you're lucky you stayed out of jail, but they're still going to come after you for all this other stuff that you did. So now when they take everything, she's also facing jail time. You know, because for the financial mismanagement of everything else, I forgot the exact thing of what they were saying it was. It'll come to me. It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't think of it right now. But essentially, for the mismanagement of the estate and using money for all kinds of different things that they weren't supposed to be using money for as a trustee, the failure to it. So basically, you know, she's in trouble for everything else that's going on. So it gets nuts. But, you know, people experience that the whole time when they go through it. Now, if you're within the sound of my voice, congratulations. You've made it. You've made it over into overtime. And we're not going to be here for a long time. We're here for a short time. So I got one question in the back channel before I play this final segment and we move forward. All right. So what about – all right, so the question is, what about wild oats? Aren't folks supposed to experience life before they settle down? Would have been better for her to get with him and dog him out, jumping into a relationship before she was ready? It's just a question. And I guess that refers to the Masika thing.
I think people should have their fun before they settle down. I wish I had a ring in the street before I married. I'm trying to tell you. Everything was put on hold. I do believe you should experience life before you decide to settle completely down, because you've given up a part of you that is supposed to be. You should have your damn fun. Get it out of your system, because later on, a lot of the time, what they call, what's that cliche, the 7-year itch will kick in. And you'll be out of control, truly out of control. So, yeah, I think maybe she should have just not so much dog him out, but I think she should have had a couple rounds with him and played with him for a little while, let him have some fun with her before she, decided to settle down with him. I'm different. I think everybody should explore their whole holiday before they decide not. Or settle. Have some fun. Have some fun first.
Yeah. Go ahead,
The whole thing is accepting the risk as well as the reward. If you're making a choice to go out and live your best life and have your, you know, have your fun, you know, that should not come at the expense of another person.
Right.
So you should not be the just thing for you know, her to do or for them to do is either come to an agreement that both of them get to, you know, go off and do their thing, and then at a later point in time, come back together and decide at that time if they want to be with each other, or redefine the relationship based on what it is at the time, you know, open or whatnot. But the expectation, the underlying expectation, is that he's going to be there whenever she gets done doing what she's going to do, however long that takes. And, you know, that's not just, that's not equity, that's not fair, especially if the tables were turned or if after they got into a more serious relationship, if he decided that he all of a sudden wanted to go and explore his options, she may feel a certain type of way about him doing that. While she's had the opportunity to basically do it herself and then come back to the guarantee of a relationship still being there, you know, so the whole thing, the risk reward calculus doesn't pan out.
Yeah, because basically he was Steve Urkel to her Laura. He just kept chasing her and she was doing whatever.
Yeah. Oh. Now he has some accountability on that too, because can't nobody play you unless you offer yourself up to be played. And so
you say that, you are so right, man. Yeah.
Wow. I forced him down. Somebody put a gun to his head and told him to hold on to her and wait around like that. It was a choice he made. I'm pretty sure he had options as well. He chose to stick around and hold on to the hope that she would, or he convinced himself that he knew. He was so sure that he knew she was going to marry him or whatever. He made a choice to do that. You know, people are not victimized like we think they are, okay? It's about choice, okay? You make the decision whether or not you want to stick around. Yeah. And if something comes out of it that goes awry, well, that was just a chance that you took making that choice. So it goes back to, I can't even think of the word right now, back to end up taking responsibility. I'm losing my train of thought, but you guys know what I'm saying. You have to take responsibility for the part that you play in it.
Right.
Much. You know, that determines your outcome. So. You know why he put a gun to that man's head? He made that decision. He knew what she was about. He wasn't blinded to it. He just was determined to get what he wanted. And he stayed on it. He was consistent and persistent. And he got him what he wanted eventually. But it ain't the prize. I don't think it's the prize that he was hoping for. He was expecting. Because I don't see success in that relationship. I really don't.
Well, the article goes on to say that they broke off the engagement within weeks of her accepting his ring. So he still didn't get what he spent 10 years chasing.
Mm-hmm. He's probably fighting to get that ring back from her, too, with her greedy ass.
Yeah, crazy.
Stop. I don't know the woman, but it's probably a materialistic thing with her as well. She's probably very shallow. She may be very superficial, so. Who knows? Wow. These famous relationships, I don't look too deep into them because it's too much. When it's a lot of money involved, it's hard to
take the story seriously. You know, and we're getting a side that the media wants us to see. We don't really know what's going on between these two people. You know, only them, the bear chief, and God knows, honey. I'm trying to tell you. So that's the way I look at it. Well, y'all are just some chatterboxes tonight, I tell you.
I was going to say,
these topics are serious, man. What you mean?
Right. Yeah, they are. They are. Yes, they are. Very serious.
Well, listen, so I'm going to go to this final segment, which is just crazy. Let me check the back channel real quick. Just make sure I didn't get anything crazy. All right. So here's the thing. All right. So this is from Kevin Samuels Reloaded. And,
oh, God.
I'm going to play it for y'all. All right. So tell me if it's too loud. Hold on.
Here we go.
Hold on.
Ladies, you can chime in. I have a question for the fellas. Ladies, you can chime in as well. Fellas, if you were dating a woman who made well over six figures, owned a couple of different properties, loved to travel, spoiled you, was really good to you, the dating phase, all she wanted from you was time, faithfulness, honesty, what would make you not want to commit?
All right. So I'm going to leave it right there before I get to the next part of this.
What was the last word that she said in here? What make, no, what
so,
was, she said,
so
what would make you
what
not
would
do
make
what?
You, what would make you not want to commit to that person?
Mm.
She,
up
had, she was the...
Yeah.
She was the wealthy one. She had the six-figure income.
Yeah, I play. Let me. It's only 31 seconds. I'll play it for you one more game. One more game.
I have a question for the fellas, and ladies, you can chime in as well. Fellas, you were dating a woman who made well over six figures, owned a couple of different properties, loved to travel, sport was really good to you in the dating phase. All she wanted from you was time, faithfulness, and honesty. What would make you not want to commit to this woman?
I started thinking that when we get back.
All right. So what would make you think that, what would not make you want to commit to this woman?
All right. I know I said sign me up, but I think the only thing that would make me not want to commit to her is how she treated me in the process. I know it said that she treated you good, however...
In the dating phase.
In the dating phase, right. Now we're in this committed relationship treating me. Are you trying to belittle me because you have more than me, because you make more than me? That would make me not want to commit. Because that is a serious thing. I've seen it happen. I've seen people do it because they can do it. So we had to have some serious conversations about what does after the dating phase look like to her. Because during the dating phase, yeah, she can do all of those things, but she might be a total monster in a relationship.
Oh, wow. All right. So we'll go with Wendell. What do you think?
It would also depend on how hyperthermous she is because, you know, outside of, you know, societal influence, the basic instinct is, you know, just from a animal kingdom perspective is that, you know, the female will want to have someone who can provide for her at the same or higher level that she is able to provide for herself. Otherwise, she loses respect for and value in said male. So, you know, are you a fixer-upper for her?
You know, are you going to end up being a lap dog? You know, do you have to come when she says come and go when she says go? How much control does her financial situation and other accolades presume to exert over you in a relationship with her if you did commit? So, you know, the representative could be fine, but you know, everything that glitters ain't gold. So, and also, everything that she stated sounds like a man.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like masculine energy. And so, you know, masculine energy tends to attract feminine. So, what is that saying about you?
My man.
Yeah, I would think it would depend on how she treats you, you know, in other areas outside of the dating thing. Is she trying to change who you are in any way in order for you to mm-hmm. stay in this relationship? Or are you still allowed to be who you are in this relationship and she's happy with that? If she's wanting a commitment, but she wants to change the way you dress and the way you act and the places you go and things you do, then I could see why you wouldn't want to commit to that, because she wants to basically make you into the man she wants you to be rather than being in love mm-hmm. with the person that you are.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And what is she assuming from the start? What is her prejudice in the beginning before she even allows you in? Is she judging you beforehand? You got to look at all of that, because some women have a mindset and an idea of the kind of man that she is going to allow in. Yeah, all of that is going to come out later on, but I ain't no man. I can't answer that. Just, what is she thinking first? Okay, I want this kind of guy. She may want a softer man. She may want a man that displays more feminine tendencies. Not saying that he's gay or anything like that, but some men have a very tender side to them that women like that are more attracted to, so they can have control of them. Does she want to be the kind of woman that is in control and can tell him what to do, figure she can shape him to be the way she wants him to be, or does she want, I don't know, can I say it, a real man to come in and still hold the position as a man that is in charge? Because some women, regardless of how much money they make, they look for the strength, the machismo, the manliness in a man. They want that. They don't want somebody that's coming in, that little honeydew, yes, baby, all that. Okay, so you got to look at all of that, consider that. But this question was posed to you gentlemen, so I'm going to be quiet. I did enough talking for the night.
Okay. No, it's okay. It's okay. All right. So I'm going to play the rest of the clip. Y'all ready?
Okay.
Right, so this is, I'm going to play the rest of the clip. I'm going to go from where she was. I'm going to go back to 25. So, all right. Here we go.
In honesty, what would make you not want to commit to this woman?
Her thinking that when we get back to the house, that money means she can control some shit. A domineering personality, her trying to treat a man like he's her employee. The first time she makes a statement about how much money she got, thinking that dictates the power dynamic in the relationship, any real man is gone. This question you ask has to do with what type of man you're referring to. If he's a sadomasochist, a pandering man, a simp, a pushover, or a doormat, then this man will stand there and let this woman mistreat him all the way until the relationship is over. And that just depends on his weak-ass threshold. But a masculine man is out. We do not care how much money you make. You ain't wearing no pants around us. This is why the majority of rich women are single or have men that you never see. Even they are embarrassed of the gummy bears they got at home. Masculine men are not attracted to the same things women are attracted to men for. Your accolades, your money, your assets are all shit to us. You want to impress us, be fit, feminine, friendly, cooperative, and submissive, loving, caring, nurturing, and affectionate. We want sex on the regular for you to keep your tongue and accolades tucked and be high in agreeableness. We want light, public displays of affection, and don't you ever grandstand on us. Aside from making all that money, your duty is still to us, and if you ain't our helpmate, we gone. If she has all that money and he has ideas of ways to increase levels of protection, she better yield to it. The only way for a woman to increase her value to a masculine man is for her to improve those things adhesive to the role of a traditional wife. At the end of the day, she is not the authority over a masculine man because she can't whoop us. Bars.
I so agree. Oh, I so agree. Money or not, a masculine man. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead. I disagree.
So in the back channel, it said she left with her possession. Sounds like she's looking for another possession in the man, not the whole person as a part.
For her to mention her income, period, there's an issue right there. Therein lies an issue, okay? Because the income should make a difference. If you are going to treat the man right, you want a man in your life that's going to treat you good, that's going to be the right one for you, then your income shouldn't be, I don't think it should be mentioned right away like that. Because now you are giving him a way of looking at you. Well, is this woman's money going to be an issue? Does this bitch have control issues? Is she going to think she can talk to me a certain kind of way? Because I ain't having it. I don't even want to step in that realm.
It's all about how you carry it.
Not the breath.
I mean,
oh, my bad.
But, I mean, there are some high-powered women who know how to be a wife. You know, you can't, like, run your home like you run your business. I had this question posed to me at one point when I was producing news, and a bunch of young women were all going off on the fact that they were taking off in their careers as you know, journalists or whatever, and if the man that I'm seeing doesn't agree with what I'm doing, then he can just go about his business if he can't follow my lead, yada, yada, yada. And I deliberately stayed out of the question until somebody drug me into it. And I said, you're not going to like what I'm going to say, because regardless to how well I run this room when I'm running this newsroom, and regardless to how much power I have here at home, my man is the head of the household. So if he calls me right now and says, I think we have a good opportunity if we take this job, but we're going to have to move 5 states away, my first question is, what do you need for me to do in order for us to take this opportunity? Now, if we get there and he screws it up, then I'm going to take control so that we don't fall apart. But as a woman married to a man you trust and love, then you have to give him that respect. And you have to understand that he has to be someone you can follow, or you should stay out of the relationship. It's that simple.
Hmm. Wow. Hold on just a second. Okay, I was just making sure. But the funny thing is that I also believe, like, if you're going to lead, you're going to lead. You're going to have to lead. You don't have no space to not lead. And if you're not in the position to, then you'll be treated kind of like a possession. And so as a person who's been treated like a possession before, shit ain't fun, man. shit ain't fun, man. It don't work out. And literally, like, some people don't understand shit. They don't understand why they end up lonely because of that. It's very interesting to see how all of the dynamic plays out. But, you know, people say they want things that they're not really prepared to actually have. You know, that seems to be a lot of a theme. They say, I want this, and I want this. I need this, and this is what I'm deserving of this. And they don't You know, I have a friend now. Literally, their significant other, you know, literally is super fucked up and narcissistic, and they can't figure out why they can't connect. You know, they can't figure it out. They get, you know, and not only does he believe he's entitled to all of these things, if you're not giving respect, how do you expect to get respect if you're not giving? Crazy, right? So that's what they're doing. That's how they're moving. So other than that, it is a school night. I want to thank all of y'all for coming out and spending time here on War Council, answering the questions. We probably have the most answering the questions of everything else during the kitchen sink at it. I actually had like 5 more scenarios, but I'm going to save them and put them in a group later. As far as I'm concerned, I have to actually try to see if this dude moved this fucking truck from my fucking driveway before I get mad and have his shit towed. And then people are going to think I'm an asshole. I'm like, yeah, I'm an asshole in the block. But I'm like, how the fuck do you park in front of like, yeah, let me just park in front of your driveway. Look up shit. I got a truck. You know, and I'm like, you know, it's crazy. Anyway, that's why I was so distracted, too. Other than that, any closing words? Any final surmise, any submissions, anything else? So any help, you know, suppositions, what have you? Anyone?
Cool show. Thank y'all for coming. I enjoyed myself.
I love it.
Always a pleasure being with y'all.
There's a bunch of stuff.
Absolutely,
yeah.
A pleasure. I mean, you had some more stuff that made me jump out there a little bit more.
There was just one I wanted to bring up, but it really didn't apply to us. But I thought it was a good one. It was because it was about a woman. She's Indian, and she's married to her husband, who's white, and the mother-in-law has come to live with them. Like basically, come to live with them because they could be living someplace else with another one of her children, but all her friends are in that particular area. And so the mother keeps plying the Indian wife, like, you know, because the Indian wife cooks Indian, and the husband loves it. So, you know, the husband has no complaints. And so she basically, during the pandemic, basically threw out all the Indian food and said, make American food, and didn't replace it. She threw it all out.
She'd be outside with
and
the
food. Yeah. Well,
you got that right.
At the end of it, like, and then they found out, like, she was saying that she didn't have any money, but the husband's sister was like, oh, she's been out of money. She's had her money since whatever. Like, and so they were like, so she got mad, pissed off, and she's like, yeah, you got to go. You got to get your thing. You got to be, it was like, you need to replace my food, and then you need to get the hell out. And the husband actually was, like, not standing up to his mother at that point. And then when his wife was like, you know, I'm not putting up with it. And he was like, well, I guess I can't put up with this, so you got to go. So that's what happened. So it's been really interesting, to say the least. It's very interesting. But that would have been a good one to cover. There's some, you know, people are wild as fuck. That's all I can say. Reddit is like the wild, wild west of wild shit. Like anything you think that can't happen, just talk about it. And I'm sitting there like, I was like, yeah, we should do something called Black Reddit. That's what we should do. Gather all the black stories, put them all together, see what happens. What do y'all think?
Okay, I think it would be pretty cool.
That's what's up, man.
I think it would be pretty cool.
Yeah, but we'll rock out with the idea. But anyways, we're going to get into some wild stuff. There's some other stuff in the group and things of that sort. And then also cover relationships and TV shows. Why don't we see good black relationships and TV shows? You know, let's come to a future more council. You know? Why don't we see good black relationships and TV shows? What happened? Love you guys. You guys are the best. It's a school night. I gotta see why this kid is still playing on freaking YouTube.
Because you're not paying attention to him. That's why,
right.
Mm-hmm. Yep, there it is, right there.
You're distracted. So he's taking full advantage of the fact that you're distracted.
Absolutely.
Young Terrell, he's the dog. I was like, he was cutting up, man. He's coming. Oh, let me ask a bonus question. All right, so gentlemen, right, I was asking Danielle about this because I was like, this is one of the most serious things that could ever happen to a man. This manly conversation.
God.
And I think, right, so I said I was happy because I actually went, you know, earlier today, I got like 3 pairs of underwear that I like, right, because underwear is important to me. I don't know about anybody else. I like, you know, like a particular boxer briefs because they have the boxer briefs. I like the ones that have the cool, that have the cool down and the dry fit and all that other stuff. So I got some Nike and I got 2 polo, pairs of polo drawers, you know, because I'm a low head. I'll probably stay being a low head. This is just my life, but I actually found some underwear, right? And I said it's so important because I can't rock with every pair of underwear, right? Now, fellas, am I wrong? The worst thing you can do is get some underwear that will pull on the hair. Now, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong. Right. One hair can disable and debilitate a man.
Yes, sir.
From the wrong
he ain't lying.
You are not lying, sir.
No lies detected. Not a single one.
And I said, if you really want to stop a man, I said, just pull one hair out from his ball.
Oh,
just one hair.
Oh, man.
Yep.
We're literally talking about this earlier.
Right.
Have me in tears. Oh, my God.
Hey, I've been determined that was the truth.
The truth.
I've been in bad situations. That's why I don't wear certain underwear. I like certain underwear, I avoid them because it pulls the hairs. It pulls the hairs. And if I'm not manscaped, and I was like, listen, it'll make you stop everything that you're doing.
Everything that you're doing, bro.
It will stop everything that you're doing.
Look, you don't even care, man. Look, y'all just going to have to see this. You're just going to have to see this. I don't care if your kids is around, have them close their eyes, but you're going to see all of this. I got to go fix this.
Yep.
What
are you doing? What the hell does it look like I'm doing?
Look like
I'm pulling my hair out of these damn drawers.
But, you have
any idea how uncomfortable this is?
And it's the worst. It's the absolute worst. And I was telling about y'all. I said it's only secondary to getting your penis caught in the zipper. You know, that's
yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
My God.
So we're taking that.
That's a different kind of pain right there.
That's a different kind of pain. For sure.
Oh, God.
It's a whole different thing altogether.
Oh,
we never going to talk about this.
Oh,
you know,
God.
That's traumatized. That's trauma. But I was telling Danielle, I said, listen, because I said, it's got to be a certain kind of, like, it's got to be a certain kind of underwear, because, you know, that's what it is. And I was telling her, I was like, when I played football, right, I was in high school, and I called myself, you know, because I wear jock straps, and, you know, they're like, oh, you're supposed to do that. And I used, like, a razor, and then I ended up getting an ingrown hair on my ball.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
So then I had to, you know, so first, you know, because I'm young and I'm stupid. And I don't know no better. I'm 17. I'm like, oh, my God, I thought you were, oh, my God. Right? And then, you know, you figure out, like, yeah, that's not you. You tell somebody, somebody's like, oh, you got this. They're like, oh, my God, blah, blah, blah. And then you figure it out. And I tried to, you know, do all the stuff that I would normally do with a normal. I tried to hot pack it and do all this other stuff. And I thought I was trying to get it. And I couldn't get out. So then I had to go see my mom. And so nobody wants to show their balls to their mama. Show your balls.
And you
want your mama to see your balls? No.
Oh, I used to change your diaper, boy.
Yeah, exactly. I know what you got already. I gave it to you. No, you ain't give me this.
Nah.
So now you gotta hold your Johnson and your balls so that your mama can inspect your balls.
Yeah, that's mom. I don't care how things used to be, but used to be don't make honey, man. I don't want you doing this.
Right.
And you know what she'll say, boy? Put your head up and shut up. Let me do what I gotta do.
Uh-huh. That is it. Okay.
You know, because now you gotta go through the whole thing and the traumatizing, and then your mama gotta go in there and pull the hair out.
Oh,
my God.
And you be like, it's the most uncomfortable thing that your mama's digging for an ingrown hair on your balls. This is what your mama's doing.
I would think that you would be more concerned about the tool that she had to use there rather than her actually seeing it and having to do it.
You're just trying not to die of embarrassment.
Oh, your mama ain't going to hurt you. Your mama wasn't going to hurt you. She wasn't going to say nothing to you.
Your mama is going to say nothing.
I don't know if she would say nothing. That's like giving her the big joker.
Oh, that's a shame, y'all. That's a damn shame. I feel for y'all, Lord.
Like, all right, mom. I don't need to see all this. No, and I told her. I said the only thing that rivals that is getting a pimple between your ass cheeks.
God,
with my ass cheeks.
Ew.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, I just had to talk about it. I told her I was gonna talk about this. I said but tell me what I'm saying, like you can't mess with the hair on your ball. Like, you know, that's why they have Manscaped now. The Manscaped, there's no nick thing, so you can do it, you know. You can do it and everything else, man. I just tell people right now, I'd be too afraid. You just going to experience the bush. You just going to go to the jungle.
Picked up some women's razors today for those very reasons.
Can somebody tell me, why are women's razors 10 times better than men?
Bruh.
Like, what you got? I got to put this in your razor. Just cut it. Hey, there you go. We just going to be barbarians. Women, it puts out a special gel while it shaves. It has a strip on it, so it makes it smoother. It helps to smooth the skin, soothe it.
Men's razors don't have the gel on it?
Not like yours do.
I mean, some of them. Not like y'all. Y'all got the razor. Yeah, it got a little pressure on it. It's a little crazy, man. Yeah, y'all got some things on there. It be working, you know.
Okay.
But then again, we have electric razors, and so you know my T-edges, my T-outliners, you know, like I got a whole bunch of like different joints, you know, and they sharper, you know. But I was kind of foolish because the first time I tried to do, you know, before I learned, you know, I kind of butchered myself. clearly I'm not good at this. Clearly this is not working. Do it in ourselves if this don't work. You know, I don't think they have this on YouTube. You know, look.
Wow.
Anyway, let me stop. It's been a good time. We're going to see the next installment of whatchamacallit. Because wait, how many we got? We got two more Tuesdays, right? Two more Tuesdays, right? Because I know next week is Philosophy.
But you got one more Tuesday.
You know, I got one more Tuesday? Oh, I had two.
Shit, I got one more Tuesday. That's me.
Anyway. I'm jumbling up the schedule anyway. Because I was like, yo, I used to like, Flash Speaks the first thing. I'm like, nah, I'd rather do War Council. War Council. I need to do Flash Speaks. I was like, shuffle it, reshuffle the order. I was like, if I can get two Flash Speaks in a month, I'd be happy. But thank y'all for coming. God bless you. Love you guys. Thank you to Mr. Berry, Wendell Berry. Thank you to Mr. Van Meadows. Thank you to Ms. Danielle Cheney. Thank you to Ms. Lisa Lips. Thank you to Dawood Muhammad, who's not here. Thank you to everybody who came to participate, rocked out with us, sat with us during this whole time. And thank you for coming to War Council. It's a conscious creative, egalitarian panel that talks about relationships, love, and all this good stuff and everything else that's going on. And everybody's super fantastic, phenomenal. And tomorrow is Love Zone with Lil Perla Negro and Ms. VIP. What's the topic tomorrow?
Oh, shit, and it's my turn. I don't know. I'll let you guys know.
All right. Sorry. All right, Isaiah, what's going on Thursday?
Oh, man, it's a get down. Continuing Black History Month. This is going to be a pretty conscious show in light of some of the most recent events that have happened has outraged me and some other people. So you're going to probably hear some aggressive poetry on the Get Down this coming Thursday. So make sure y'all tune in.
All right. And Friday is Keith Eric Show, right?
No. We don't have a show for Friday as of right now.
Yeah, that sounds like a backroom conversation. Anyway, Saturday, what are we doing?
Saturday is Poetic Therapy. Perla Haggerston Phillips. Sunday is the Inspiration Factory, Divine Inspiration, Paul Sampson, yours truly, Van Meadows, Poetic. Monday night will be Do What You Like, Mr. Metaphoria, and yours truly, Poetic. And Tuesday will be Fly Speak, or you on what you know, Mahavi.
Oh, watch the guy. I got it going crazy. I got Lati B. Shea. I got Ashley Connors. And I got Aziz, the pulmonologist. So all three of them coming through.
All right. Tune in.
All right. All right. That being said, thank y'all for coming. Tomorrow's meeting will be very interesting. So thank y'all for coming. God bless you. Good night. Thank you for everybody on the War Council. Be home. Be safe. Be real. Wash your hands. Do whatever you need to do in order for you. And be cool. If nobody told you they love you, we love you. And be safe. All right? This show will self-destruct in 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.